This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch, and I'm joined this morning by the new special agent in charge of the St. Louis Field Office for the FBI, Ashley Johnson. We wanted to let you get to know her a little bit and then talk about one of the major initiatives that the FBI is working on right now to protect our kids online. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
You were a psychiatric social worker you came to the FBI.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So I got my master's in social work. My first job was a probation officer. I love the criminal justice side, but I also saw kind of the socioeconomic, you know, impacts of what kind of leads to the criminal justice system, unfortunately, the things that kind of influence those behaviors, particularly in certain vulnerable populations. And so that kind of keyed my interest in social work, kind of from the law enforcement standpoint, now the social work. And then my first job, I interned as a psychiatric social worker, and then I ended up just staying there for about 2.5 years. That gave me insight into people, gave me insight into communities and how we could best help and leverage our resources, whatever they may be, even on the law enforcement side, to make sure that we were addressing issues in a holistic way.
You've handled white collar crime, civil rights. You were part of the International Operations Division.
Yes.
At the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
What's that entail?
So we have, the FBI actually has 96 countries where we have a presence. So you have an agent, a special agent who leads those offices in partnership with the Department of State, Department of Defense, and other federal agencies, really to take the FBI's mission overseas. As we know, and we'll kind of get into later talking about the issue of 764, now crimes are really borderless. When I first came in 18 years ago, I was assigned to New Orleans. And you kind of focused on New Orleans, right? The crime here in New Orleans, looking at those threats. But with technology, you know, the overseas presence of individuals being able to communicate through social media or whatever, we don't have that anymore. You have to look at things really from a global perspective.
And then that obviously led you to work in cybersecurity as well, which now when we talk about things mm-hmm. happening internationally, it seems like that's where a lot of it happens.
A lot of it. A lot of it can happen. Again, is it the technology, social media platforms. You know, I don't want to date myself. You know, but you know, like when I was younger, you wrote letters, right?
If
you wanted to
exactly.
talk to someone,
yes.
you wrote a letter and you mailed it and you hoped. Now, you know, if you want to talk to someone in any country, you name the country, you could literally, I could contact them on my phone and, you know, through social media, whatever kind of apps, telephonically, in a matter of seconds. So that has changed as well, how we can communicate and our access to others.
I'm speaking with Special Agent in Charge of the St. Louis office, Ashley Johnson, with the FBI. This caught my attention because I am the parent of two teenagers. One of the initiatives that the FBI is working on is the activity of a group called 764 and some similar groups. Tell mm-hmm. parents what this is.
So this is a network of individuals who target underage, specifically underage girls, but also other vulnerable populations. So individuals or individuals mainly underage, boys and girls, but mostly girls that may demonstrate some type of vulnerability through onlining or through gaming. Someone that they can see, you know, maybe has depression issues or being able to lure them into conversations that I'm having trouble at home. So these children or underage individuals are usually targeted through gaming apps or through some type of media, online media platform. And it's almost a grooming stage. Like I said, they talk to them, you know, they befriend them, right? Now I'm your friend. And I get you to start telling me, you know, I'm having problems with my mom, or I'm having problems, I'm being bullied at school. They then take that, you know, lure the child in, groom the child to think I'm your friend. And then they start to ask them to engage, you know, to show your loyalty to me, you know, engage in some type of self-mutilation or some type of sexual act, or even engaging with animals, cruelty to animals. They then film this or record it in some type of way and essentially blackmail the child or and say, if you don't do X, you know, if you don't mutilate yourself, I'm going to take the video I have of you, show it to your family, show it to your friends. So you have a lot of these children who are now locked in, you know, because they feel they have nowhere else to go. So with parents, the best thing that we can do is really have, you know, educate ourselves, understand, and it's very hard. I have an adult daughter, and as she was growing up, I think it was MySpace. So I didn't have, I didn't have the issues a lot of, because there's so many media platforms
now. Oh, it's crazy. So, it's Snapchat, Discord, you name it.
You name it. And just as I talked about being able to call someone in another country, it's true on the online as well, right? Your child may live here in St. Louis, but they could easily be talking to someone in, you know, Mexico City or, you know, Beijing. And not even realize that. And so parents really, in as hard as it is, need to understand who their children are engaged with, what type of media platforms are they involved in, and really screening their time. I think that sounds like old-fashioned advice, but really monitoring what they're doing. Even on these gaming apps, it may seem very innocent. My child's playing a video game, but they're infiltrating those types of platforms as well with the intention of purposely targeting and harming children and essentially exploiting them.
What's the end game for these groups? Is it, are they extorting these kids for money? Are they getting these images to other perpetrators? What's the purpose, the motive in all this?
It could be either, right? Everyone has different motives, but I would say the collective motive is just the exploitation, the having an ability with anyone who exploits children, who abuses children, right? That their end game is the self-gratification that they may receive, the ownership that they feel. I think there's a conglomerate of different reasons, but I think just targeting those populations for their own diverse motives, whether it be to get loyalty from the child, whether it be to continue to build this network, control is a big thing, because now you have individuals who become leaders of these networks. So now they're not just exploiting children, but they've recruited other individuals to start to recruit them as well. So you see things as that seems very benign, but it's really one of the key motivators in why a lot of individuals do this.
Is this something that parents can expect to see an increase in over the summer months when these perpetrators might know that kids are out of school and online more?
I would say definitely be more vigilant, especially parents who during summer, I was a parent that had to work. So my kid was at this her grandparents' house. So maybe it's not as much supervision technology wise, but I would definitely say continue throughout the school year. But yeah, summer months, certainly when children have sometimes a little more freedom, understand what your kids are watching, understand who they're engaged in, ask them questions, you know, like, is there anyone talking to you online? What do they talk to you about? Look for signs. If your child, you know, you see a change in their dress, usually in a negative way, right? They go from being very particular about what they wear, and now you see them a little more disheveled or not giving as much attention to their personal appearance. If they become anxious, you see depression, isolation, where they used to, you know, want to go out, hang with their friends. Now you see them more secluded within their own homes or whatnot. Also, if you see cutting, that's one of the things that they target children to do as well, to harm themselves. So you may see cuts in patterns of some sort. So just be vigilant, really engaged with your child, talking to them and looking at some of the indicators or changes in behavior that may not necessarily say they're involved in that group, because you don't want to go from A to Z that quickly. But if you start to see those changes, it is something that you may want to inquire more about.
Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it.